This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You tuned into the best of BizBytes 2019, looking back at some of our favourite topics of discussion from throughout the year, curated, of course, helpfully by our intern who sits in the background helping us out a little bit. And, of course, interns are tied very nicely into our next topic. It's all about education.
Yeah, because this was a monumentous day in BFM's history, because on the 17th of September, we had our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, to come in to talk about, you know, the education sector and the policies, the government, you know, everything, right? And the education was a big part of that interview. And, you know, he spoke about the sector needs radical change to ensure the future of Malaysia. So here's a clip of him and Chuang discussing about what are some of the changes that could be done instantly. And also what, you know, I guess, you know, we had a chat about, you know, what are the things that he mentioned, Tun Mahathir mentioned, that we could then sort of use this for actually implementation itself. Well, in case you've missed out, the Breakfast Grill this morning had our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, on the show. And a lot of it was talked on, you know, the education sector. So how can we improve the education sector? What can we do? Tun himself mentioned, you know, there are some suggestions that he gave out. So we thought we're going to take that angle to a step further now to look at what sort of technology solutions and also, you know, some of the SMEs that are doing things with the education can actually benefit the education sector immediately. For those of you who missed out, here's a clip of what exactly he said about the current education system.
With regard to education, we need to make rather radical changes. One of the things that we notice is that because of the growth in the number of students and teachers, the quality is not uniform. Certain schools do well, certain schools do not do well. Maybe it's because the quality of the teachers differ. What we are trying to do now is to have the best teacher record the lessons and the other teachers use the lessons prepared by the best teacher. We can do this, and we can use project it on the screen, and we will learn like language, courses in language which are prepared by some language specialists. They know how to teach, and we will have to adopt them.
So what he's suggesting is something that, you know, a lot of countries we've seen how, you know, they're using technology. It's, you know, trying to record some of the best teachers or some of the new curriculums, and then they will shoot it out to areas that is difficult to reach, you know, where it's difficult to, maybe there are not enough teachers. So they use technology. So, you know, whether it's screencasting, so you learn at the same time the best teacher is teaching you in a different state, but at, you know, the same time zone or so. So it helps with the disparity of, you know, teachers in terms of their qualifications or their ability to teach, right? So, you know, some teachers may be really good in using, you know, some technology services, but then some who don't, right? So you have these kind of new, it's not really new, but you have some solutions that are able to help teachers and students from, you know, who are not really used to the idea of using technology. They will be able to be more accustomed to using like a screencast. So that's just like one idea. So studies have shown that exposing children to technical concepts stimulates their problem solving and critical thinking skills, and it can then prime them to learn computational skills more quickly later on in life. And we know how much, you know, how lacking is our education sector when it comes to problem solving and critical thinking, right? And then there's also the societal argument in the sense that, you know, in middle school in the US, it's actually critical for children's identity and formation and also the development when you expose them. For example, like if you teach girls about technology at a young age, it actually may make them more likely to study it later on or have a career in technology.
Yep. Yep.
And this is according to Jennifer Gibson, who's a professor at psychology and child development at the California Polytechnic State University. It also could then help diversify AI, broader tech industry. You can learn how to grapple with the ethics, also with the societal impacts of how technology can help, you know, children grow into more conscious creators and developers, as well as just be a more informed citizen. And then there's also the vulnerability part. People are more young people. They're more malleable, and they're also more impressionable. So ethical risk comes into this part where, you know, you can track people's behavior and then use them to design more addictive experiences that heighten their senses. So they are able to be more engaged with it, because passive consumers that are children, it's actually very harmful for their development as well, right? So this program, they include a series of activities. They prompt students to think about the subject of algorithms. They begin by learning about algorithms as recipes with inputs, with a set of instructions and outputs. So these kids are then asked to build or write down instructions for an algorithm that outputs the best peanut butter or jelly sandwich. So in the Malaysian case, you could just do, you know, output the best pisang goreng, output the best mee goreng, the, you know, nasi lemak. It's, you know, Malaysian.
Make it something familiar.
Something familiar, because again, these concepts are all open source, right? So very quickly, the kids in the summer pilot started to grasp the underlying lessons. A student actually pulled aside one of the teachers and said, like, is this supposed to be an opinion or fact? And this is because through their own discovery process, the students realized how they had unintentionally build their own preferences into the algorithms itself. So they're building their own kind of, you know, algorithms that is catered to them.
We spoke about algorithms and how, you know, teaching kids about algorithms is a very important thing. But I think the biggest issue is that we need to face is that so many people here in Malaysia, kids in particular, just do not have access to the internet and one way or another. And even with these great ideas of recording great teachers, you know, how do you then get that to these kids who are in areas that perhaps don't have internet penetration or one thing or another?
Exactly. And the other thing is that we're dealing with kids today who are digital natives, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're so used to touch screens and, you know, computers, and they FaceTime. They don't phone call anymore. You know, this is how kids today are born and they live. So obviously teachers need to incorporate, you know, screens and you know, things like this when they are teaching our kids, because if not, kids are just going to lose attention. They're just not going to pay attention.
For these kind of distance learning, because that's essentially what it is, right? There are a whole bunch of these already exist. If we look at the Khan Academy, for example, is something that's been set up for a while, follows this very similar principle. You can look at different languages. You can learn about programming. All of these things already exist online. And I know there's a couple of Malaysian companies doing this kind of thing as well. So, you know, the stuff's already there. It's the implementation of getting, you know, schools to start using this stuff, right, Jeff?
Yeah, so when we talk about the rural areas, I know there are some rural areas that still struggle with technology, but I would say it's safe to say most of them in the rural areas, they, outside of the school areas, they would be used to some form of screen. So whether it's mobile phones, right? Most of them are mobile first when they are experience of the internet. So when you go into a school that then removes all of these elements and goes back to textbook, as a kid, you're not drawn in already then, right?
You're not stimulated.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I think, you know, it's essential that we look at maybe some of the open source learnings that, you know, you've mentioned, you know, and there's so many of them. And these are all easily available, freely available. You don't have to spend billions of ringgit to implement something like this. I guess the money can implement in getting the teachers to be tech savvy, in getting the kind of like internet penetration into the schools itself. So I'm a big advocate of tech really needs to work with the education sector ASAP, because I'm a product of the Malaysian education sector. So I went to government schools. Mm-hmm. I went to, you know, a university, not even a university, it was an academy that was, you know, run by a family based in Malaysia. You know, everything's, so I'm the exact product of the Malaysian education system. And I'm far away off the levels of, you know, when I travel to the US, to Japan, and to Sweden and stuff, right? So I really wish that the only way that I've managed to open doors up in these kind of countries is because of technology. Being able to learn things on the go, on the fly, with tech, on online, and, you know, all these kind of books that you've had. I believe that if this was a structure within the education system, we would have much better candidates that could then compete with the rest of the world. Because we have sectors, the gaming sectors, you know, the creative sectors. But when it comes down to, you know, the tech side, we're still, let's be honest here, we're far behind.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a topic that I wasn't involved in, despite the name of the topic of discussion of that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Young old entrepreneurs. Wow.
We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.